Really, Paul wrote about half of the books in the New Testament of our Bible. And I know some have kind of debated as to whether he wrote the book of Hebrews. So he wrote either 13 or 14 books, whichever way individuals view the book of Hebrews. So he wrote really a majority of what is written in the New Testament of our Bibles. But the book of 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul wrote. And the reason why it's the last book that Paul wrote is because Paul was preparing for his death. He was going to die the death of a martyr for serving the Lord. And so he knew his time was coming to an end. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to be in chapter 3, but in chapter number 4, we have those words that we probably, many of us, maybe even perhaps have memorized, where Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So he realized that his time was about done. His journey, his Christian race was coming to an end. And he writes the books of 1 and 2 Timothy to encourage his young son, Timothy, in the faith. And in 2 Timothy, we see Paul gives some words of challenge, and he gives some words of warning as well for Timothy. And so that's where we pick up here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And the words of encouragement that he is going to give, that we're really going to draw this message from, is a little bit later in the chapter, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, towards the end of the chapter. So we're going to touch on the start of the chapter, and then we'll move towards the end of the chapter. But really, the thought that we're going to get tonight, that God has kind of laid on my heart, that we're going to get to this morning, is the encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy to continue in what God has done in his heart, what God has taught him, what he has learned, what he has believed, that Paul would take those things, or excuse me, that Timothy would take those things and continue in those things. So my encouragement for us today as a church family is to take the things that we have heard this past week at Revival, to take the things that God has stirred in our hearts about, and to continue in those things for the honor and the glory of the Lord. So look with me, if you would, at the first few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as I'm reading through here, I want you to be mindful of the things that Paul is warning Timothy about, the challenges that he is giving to Timothy that he realizes that Timothy is going to face. So look at what it says in verse number 1. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now that word "know" there in verse number 1 has the idea of this is something you have to realize. This is something Paul says you have to recognize as a fact. Meaning, this is going to happen. In the last days, perilous times are going to come. Now, can I say this? Two thoughts real quickly. Number one, we are living in the last days today. We do not know when Jesus Christ is going to come back, but we believe that His return is imminent. His return could happen any moment. The Bible tells us, because we do not know when He is going to come, the Bible tells us that perhaps by the end of this service, Christ will have returned. We don't know when He's going to come, but we do know we are living in the last days and Jesus Christ is going to return. So the Bible says, know ye, or realize, or recognize as a fact that in the last days, then He says this, perilous times shall come. The second thought that I want to give you about verse number 2, or verse number 1 is this, the word perilous has the idea of dangerous. I think we would acknowledge, we understand that we're living in the last days, but I think we would acknowledge that we are living in dangerous times. You say, well, why would we categorize, why would we say that these times are dangerous? Well, Paul describes them for us. Look at what he says is going to happen in the last days. For men shall be lovers of them of their own selves. I think we're living in a day in which we could say verse 2 is true. Men are lovers of them of their own selves. Many, many, many are very, very prideful. God desires that we live in humility, but many very prideful. Look at verse 2. Covetous. That word covetous. You think of the idea of the day we live in today, how there are so many in the day we live today that want for free what others have to work for. They're covetous. Somebody else has it, and so it's something that I feel like I need to have. Aren't you thankful that God did give us the promise that as we are faithful to Him, He will supply our needs. He will take care of our needs. But many times we go above and beyond that. We say, oh, you know, God, thank you for the needs. But there are some things I want as well. And we get very covetous. Let's not get to the point where we're living covetous. He says those are things that characterize the last days. Look at this. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Think about that today. We live in a world in which there is disobedience to parents. Look at this. He says, unthankful. Now, we're in the midst of the month of November, of course, where we're thinking about all that we have to be thankful for. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Well, we have a lot to count. We have a lot of blessings to count, don't we? And boy, we could name them in thousands by thousands, right? All the things that we have to be thankful for. But sadly, we're living in a world and we're living in the last days in which many are unthankful. And then notice he says, unholy. Unholy. God desires for us as his people to live holy lives, doesn't he? He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, we can't reach God's standard of holiness. He's perfect in every way, but we can endeavor and strive to be more like Jesus every day, to live a holy life. And by the way, we'll talk about that as we go on here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at what he says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Look at verse 4. It characterizes the last days. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. If you did not hear Evangelist Hayes' message last Sunday morning, he preached about idolatry. And what a message it was, as he reminded us of the fact that in the 21st century we can have idols. They might not be made of wood and they might not be made of stone, but they're things that we put before the Lord. He says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Yes, they might speak of godliness. They might even present themselves or even look like they're a godly individual, but they lack the power that truly comes from living a godly life. Look at what he says at the end of verse 5. From such turn away. All right, so this is a warning that Paul gives to Timothy, right? A challenge for him. Hey, young man, young son in the faith, I want you to turn away from these things. From such turn away, he says. Now notice what he says in verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. In verse number 6, he describes for us the characteristics of these individuals. These are some things that these individuals will have as a part of their life. Look at verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, they might claim they have some knowledge, or they might claim they have some learning or some wisdom, but really never able to come to the truth, to the knowledge of the truth. Now, Brother Terry quoted a passage of Scripture this morning, and he did not do it by accident. John chapter 8 was picked on purpose today for the Scripture reading. John chapter 8, verse 32, you remember Brother Terry reading, and he says, you shall know the truth. And what does the Bible say? The truth shall set you free. There are many that are still in the slavery and the bondage of their sin because they have not been set free by the truth. They might know a lot. They might have a lot of knowledge, they might have a lot of understanding, they might have a lot of what they call the world's wisdom, but they really haven't come to know the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word. Look at what it says in verse number 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. There's another characteristic of these that are in the last days. They are going to resist the truth. They're not going to want it. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And then look at verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. In verse 1 through verse number 9, Paul is warning Timothy about wicked men and what they want to do. This is what their desire is. This is what they are characterized by. He warns him about these wicked men, these things that are going to happen in the last days that we live in. Then notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Paul says to Timothy in verse number 10, I want to remind you that I have taught you of my doctrine. I've taught you what I believe to be true. I've taught you my manner of life or my manner of living. And I've even helped you to understand my attitude of ministry. Paul says, I want to let you know, hey, there are some in the last days that are going to try to lead others astray. But I want you to remember, I've taught you a few things. I've taught you what correct doctrine is and what your manner of life should be like, what your attitude should be like in ministry. And then notice on verse number 11, he says this, persecutions, afflictions, which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now verse number 11 is a challenge here, and certainly a word of warning to Timothy as Paul speaks here. He says, not only did I share with you my doctrine, not only have I shared with you my manner of life, not only have I shared with you my attitude of ministry, but also you have recognized, Timothy, that I've gone through persecution. I've had to face times of affliction. And by the way, Paul says to Timothy, when you do right, you may face opposition. Paul's letting Timothy know, his young son in the faith, Timothy, I'm warning you. I'm letting you know, when you do right, you may face opposition. You may have to go through times of persecution. But did you notice the encouragement at the end of verse number 11, though? Did you notice what Paul says to Timothy? Look at the end of verse number 11 again. He says this, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Did you notice this? Number one, he said, God gave me the strength to endure them. Isn't it wonderful to know? By the way, again, back to Wednesday night, Brother Drew, preached a message on the storms of life that we go through. And he talked about four different storms that we'll face in our life. We will face storms. But aren't you thankful? With the Lord, you can endure those storms. Paul lets Timothy know, I'm just letting you know, when you do right, you might have times of opposition, but I'm letting you know you can endure that opposition that you go through. You can endure that affliction. You can endure that time of persecution. And then notice what else he encourages them with. At the end of verse number 11, he says this, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So not only does the Lord help you to endure the trial, but he also delivers you as well. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you encouraged by that today? Paul says to Timothy, you can endure, and God also can help you to be delivered as you go through that time of trial and that time of persecution as well. And then would you notice verse number 12? Because here's what Paul does to Timothy. He gives him some warnings. He gives him some challenges. He gives him some instructions. And then he lets him know these same things might happen to you, Timothy. Look at what he says in verse number 12. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What is Paul saying to Timothy? Paul's saying to Timothy, if I face persecution, if I've faced opposition, and you desire to live right, and you desire to live a godly life, and you desire to do what God would have for you to do, it's possible you may face it as well, Timothy. He's letting him know. You may face it as well. Then look with me, if you would, at verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Would you say today there are a host of individuals in our world that we live in the last days who are their goal, they're endeavoring to deceive people? He said it's going to wax worse and worse, and there are many that are going to give in to that deception, and they're going to follow that path. They're going to follow that crowd. We understand that's happening today. But here's the encouragement of the message this morning. This is what Paul says to Timothy. This is the passage of Scripture the Lord laid on my heart. Revival's coming to an end. The revival services, the revival messages, the revival meetings have come to an end. But listen, let's not let that stop in our hearts. Let's not let it fade in our spirits. Let's keep revival going on in days to come. And notice what he says in verse number 14. And verse number 14 to the end of this chapter will be our main text for the finish of our message this morning. It says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul says to Timothy, yes, you might face some hard times. Yes, some challenges may lie ahead. But I've taught you doctrine. I've taught you manner of life. I've taught you ministry. You've watched as I've gone through times of persecution and affliction and opposition. But Timothy, I'm encouraging you to continue on. To not let anything stop you. To not quit, but to go on for the Lord. Now let's look at verse number 14 for a moment. He says the words in verse number 14, but continue. But continue. The word continue has the idea of the fact that you've believed something, continue to believe it. You've lived in obedience, and Paul says to Timothy, continue to obey. There are some things that we heard last week at Revival that are things that as an evangelist, he shared with us from the Word of God that are things that he believes, things that I hope as he's clearly laid out those passages of Scripture from the Word of God that you would say, I believe those things as well. Well, what is Paul saying to Timothy? Continue in them. These are things from the Word of God that we believe. Let's continue in those. Let's not soon let those draw to a close. Let us not let them draw to an end. So continue in what you believe. There are some things as we read the Word of God that we realize we need to live in obedience in, right? So as we realize what we need to do to obey the Lord, let's continue in obedience. Here's what Paul's saying to Timothy. I want you, Timothy, to stand steadfast. I want you to be unmovable. Brother Drew was here, and on Monday night, he preached a message, gave us a challenge, and gave us a thought on Monday night of that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And the Bible says it's planted and it's watered so well that it is unmovable. Let us stand steadfast. Let us continue on. Let us follow on. Let us follow what God would have for us to do. Let's not move away. Let's not drop things. Let's not depart from things. Let's not make downward progress, but make upward progress. Let's not go astray. You say, well, how would it be possible to get to a place where I'm not continuing on, I'm not following what God would have me to do, and I've gone astray? Well, I thought as I was looking at this word continue, I thought about, as we've even read through 2 Timothy chapter number 3, there are some things that could get us off track, perhaps deceit. We talked about deceit in 2 Timothy chapter 3, didn't we? The deceit of others could get us off track. Maybe perhaps just a decision that we make to get off track. God gives us a free will, doesn't He? We have the ability to make a choice. And today your choice might be, well, I just don't want to continue on in the things that God has for me to do. And by the way, He won't make you. He won't force you to do that. You have to make a decision to say, as Paul said to Timothy, I want to continue on. I don't want to allow a deceit to cause me to get off track. I don't want to allow a decision that I make to get me off track, but then perhaps even difficulties that we face in life to get us off track so that we're not continuing on in the things that God would have us to go on in. I thought about the illustration, and by the way, Paul uses this a lot. He uses a lot of illustrations in an athletic way. Paul writes in the Scripture, and he talks about runners in a race and talks about boxing in the books that he writes in the New Testament. He gives several illustrations of athletes and the things that athletes have to go through in order to be able to get to the finish line and be able to get the prize. And by the way, I enjoy sports. I mean, that's something I've always enjoyed. I've always enjoyed opportunities I've had to be able to participate in sports. One of the things I remember in my Christian high school they taught me is when you really are doing what you ought to do as an athlete, as far as making sure you're putting in your body those things that you're supposed to put in, you're exercising and practicing the way that you're supposed to, really you're bringing glory to the Lord. And so they talked about how that really even in an athletic way, we're thinking about the opportunity that we have to serve the Lord and give our best to Him. Well, Paul uses a lot of those illustrations. So I thought of the illustration today of an athlete that prepares and he gets ready for a big competition that he's going to be involved in. It might even remind us of what we did to prepare for revival. We started praying for revival, didn't we? We started really asking the Lord to give us some good revival services, a good revival meeting. We started inviting folks, didn't we? We started praying and asking the Lord, Lord, search my heart. Lord, create in me a clean heart so that I'm ready for revival. And then we came to the services with an open heart. We came to the service with an open Bible. We let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Just like that athlete prepares for the game. He's making sure that he eats what he's supposed to eat as he's preparing for the game. And then he's making sure that he's practicing during the course of the week to get ready for that big game. And then he's also studying. Think about the athlete as they study through things that they did not do well the game before, so that they can perhaps even look at a video of what they've done wrong so that I can get ready for the next game. And then the big game day comes. And I've worked and I've prepared and I've got myself ready, just like Paul gives illustrations of athletes all through the Bible. He's prepared. He's got himself ready for the game, and then he does well. He's involved in the game and the team wins. The game goes well. And then after the game comes to an end, does the athlete change that pattern and say, well, that got me the win. I did well with that, and I practiced. I ate what I was supposed to. I studied. I was very diligent last week to prepare and get ready for the game. We had a good game. Everything went well. And then just change the entire routine and kind of go back to a dangerous way of preparing for the game that lies ahead? No, we would say certainly the athlete would not do that. Well, let's use the illustration of revival in our lives. After revival comes to an end, God's done what we ask Him to do, right? He's encouraged us. We prepare just like the athlete would do. We got ourselves ready. God gave us a great meeting. God gave us a great set of services. And Paul, just like Paul says to Timothy, continue in those things. Those things that God has spoken to your heart about, the way the Holy Spirit has used the messages this past week in revival, hey, continue in those things. Don't get off track. Don't start to just retreat or relax, but instead, strive to go forward and continue the things that God has done in your heart. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 8, Brother Terry read it for us earlier, but in John chapter number 8, Jesus says something to his disciples. I'm going to read one of the verses that Brother Terry read for us. In verse number 31, it says this, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." God says, I want you, as disciples, I want you to continue in my word. As disciples of God, Paul says, as a young son in the faith to Timothy, I want you to continue in the things that you have heard, in the things that you have learned, the things that you have been assured of. Let's not get off track. Notice what he says back to verse number 14. He says these words, "But continue thou." Now here's where Paul makes it personal, doesn't he? He makes a personal application for Timothy. Others may not, but Paul, I'm speaking to you personally. I want you to continue. You know, we're not responsible for every decision that everyone else makes, but we are responsible for the decisions we make for the Lord. Paul says in a personal way to Timothy, continue thou. I'm encouraging you individually in a personal way, continue thou in the things that God has done in your heart this week. If He has spoken to you personally about something that you need to deal with in your life from this past week, from those revival meetings we had, if you would take what God has spoken to you about and say, I want to continue in that. I want to make it so it's not just a fleeting thing. Maybe perhaps God spoke to you about the importance of reading your Bible. Let's make sure we stay in the Word of God. Maybe He's spoken to your heart about the importance of spending time every day praying and talking to the Lord. Let's make sure we're spending time praying and talking to the Lord. Maybe He's spoken to your heart. And by the way, we heard a good message on winning souls to Christ. We heard a very powerful message. Maybe God has spoken to your heart this past week at revival and said, God stirred my heart. Maybe perhaps He's even put some names in my mind of individuals that I need to go talk to. Don't let those names soon slip out of your mind, but continue in those things. You say, hey, I was faithful to the services of revival. May not revival be the only services that we are faithful to, but we continue on. May not revival be the only Sunday mornings we're coming, or the Sunday evenings we're coming, or the Wednesday evenings we're coming, but we're faithful to the house of the Lord. God's done a work, and now we want to personally allow God to continue that work in our hearts. But then notice back to verse number 14 again. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Now, Paul already told us already what he has taught Timothy. He's taught Timothy doctrines. He's taught Timothy truths that are related to his roles in life and his roles in ministry. By the way, we all have different roles that God has given to us. And aren't you thankful that we have a Bible that tells us how we can live in that role that God has given to us? I think of myself today and the roles that God has given to me. God has given me a role of being a husband. And I am so thankful that I hold a copy of the Bible in my hands that helps me to understand what my responsibilities are in that role as a husband. God has given me a role of being a father. And by the way, parents today count that as a privilege that we get to try to mold the lives of those that God has entrusted in our care as parents, as grandparents today as well. God has given me that role. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible that helps me to understand the responsibilities that I have in the role that I have as a father. God has given me a role of a son. I have that role. I have that responsibility. And God tells me in His Word how I ought to act as a son. God has given me the role and the duty and the responsibility and the calling to be a pastor. Well, I'm thankful that I have a Bible. It helps me to understand the responsibilities I have in the role that God has called me. God has given me a role of being a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. And God's Word teaches me the responsibilities that I have in my role of being a Christian. That's what Paul says to Timothy. Paul says, there are some things that you have learned. There are some doctrines that you have been taught. And it helps you to understand what God would have you to do in the roles and the responsibilities that He has given you in life. And then notice what He says to him. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of. So not only did Timothy learn these things, but he also believed them. He was assured of them. There was a belief in his heart. He agreed on them. It's almost like us, when we use those words assured there in verse number 14, it's almost like us saying that he was made sure of a thing. There was something that he was given, and he believed what he was given. You know, it would be one thing for the preacher to preach the Word of God. It would be one thing for us to have a copy of the Scripture in front of us and to hear it, but yet we've got to get to a place where we believe it for ourselves. You know, there are individuals that we talk to about the gospel, and perhaps they've rejected it. They've pushed it away. We know what we believe. We know what the Word of God teaches us is the only way to get to heaven. But every individual in a personal way has to come to a place where they believe it. They have to come to a place where they trust it for themselves. And that's what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying, I didn't just give you these things. You've believed them as well. You've been assured of them. You know they are truths from the very Scriptures. I've given you the certainty of these. I've given you the importance of these Scriptures that we've looked at and we've taught from. But then look back to verse number 14 again, if you would. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Now watch this. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now where did Timothy learn these things? Now we know he learned them from Paul. We know Paul was his father in the faith. Paul was instrumental in Timothy coming to know Jesus as his Savior. So we know that Paul had certainly a part in teaching Timothy. But if you study your Bible, you know there are some other individuals that had a part in teaching Timothy. His mother, his grandmother. But you think about how God has a part in teaching us as well. He is the ultimate teacher, isn't he? The Bible says his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us that teaches us all things. So yes, he uses individuals to teach us. But aren't you thankful we can know whom we've learned these things from? We've learned them from God. We've learned them from His Word. And Paul says to Timothy, these are things that you've believed as well. Can I ask you today in a human way now? Now, I know that God is our ultimate teacher. But in a human way today, would you consider the person who has been instrumental in teaching you the truths of God's Word? I can think in my life of some individuals who God has used in a great and a mighty way that have been instrumental in teaching me the truths from the Word of God. Now, ultimately, we know that God does the teaching, But he uses human instruments, doesn't he? And you know what God did last week? God used the human instrument of an evangelist, didn't he? And that evangelist came and he preached to us his heart. He preached his heart out to us, didn't he? And we heard some good preaching. He's gone back home. The meetings have ended. The services have ended. The revival's ended. But Paul, like Paul says to Timothy, we got to continue in these things. We've heard them. We've learned them. We believe them to be true. And now we practice them. The evangelist has come. He's given us the message. And now we continue in those things. So here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I want you to continue in those things, knowing of whom you have learned them. By the way, Paul really humbly gives a testimony of his own self. Because Paul is really in humility now. I don't think he's being arrogant about it. I don't think he's being prideful about it. But Paul had done faithfully, what God had commissioned him to do. God had commissioned Paul to disciple, to present people the gospel, and to disciple them and see them growing in the Lord. And what Paul had been commissioned to do, Paul had been faithful at doing. He had taught. And by the way, he had even given witness to Timothy of the fact that sometimes you'll go through persecution. Sometimes things won't always be easy, but I'm here to let you know God will help you through it. You can continue in those things. Sometimes the example that we see is better than even words that we hear, right? Oh, he heard the words from Paul, but he also saw the example of a life that continued, that did not quit. It wasn't Paul saying, well, I want you to do what I'm telling you to do, but I'm not going to live that way. Paul continued all the way to his deathbed, didn't he? Faithful to serve the Lord. Continue in the things that thou hast heard, the things that you've been assured of, knowing of whom you've heard them. Now we'll finish really quickly with these thoughts that the Lord's laid on my heart. Look at verse 15. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which, by the way, may we pause there for a moment and just say how important it is to teach children the Word of God. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I'm thankful that from the time of my childhood I heard the Word of God. I'm thankful that from the time of my children's childhood they've been able to be in church, they've been able to hear the Word of God, but also at the same time that's an awesome responsibility, isn't it, parents? We've got a responsibility that in their childhood years they hear the Word of God. Can I say this? If we don't teach them, the world will. If we don't teach them, somebody else will. Let's take very important and very seriously the task that God has given to us to give to those who are children the truths of God's Word. But notice some importances that we see really quickly here in verse number 15, and we'll finish with these. Look at the end of verse number 15. He says this. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Number one, the importance of salvation. The importance of salvation. And listen, if you were part of the revival last week or if you were not part of the revival last week, whether you were here for the services or whether you were not, if you are not saved today, today is the day of salvation. Do not put it off any longer. Here's what he says about the Word of God. He says the Word of God will make you wise unto salvation. Now, I'm thankful last week at the revival we had a few souls that trusted Christ as Savior. I'm thankful for that. We prayed for that. That was our goal, to share the gospel so that folks could come to know Christ as Savior. But if you're sitting here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to a place where you realize you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for you. Realize that the only way that you can go to heaven, it's nothing that you can do. There was a price that had to be paid, though. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. And reach out and take that gift of salvation that He wants to give you today. Don't put it off any longer. The Bible says this book right here will make us wise unto salvation. So there is an importance in salvation, isn't there? But there's also, look at this, there's an importance in the Scripture. Look at what he says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Can I say this? The evangelist did a wonderful job last week encouraging us to have a walk with God in His Word. Let's continue. Let's continue. Let's be in God's Word every single day. You say, well, I don't know if I have time for it. You can't afford not to have time for it. You've got to be fed every day from the Word of God. I hope that if you made a decision that night when the evangelist spoke, that you've continued every day since. You've said, I'm going to spend time in God's Word. The Scriptures are that important. I've got to get in the Bible. If you rely upon church time as the only time you open the Word of God spiritually, you will shrivel up and die. You've got to have the Bible every day. And he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, which means this. That word inspiration might be a long word, but it has the idea of that it is God-breathed. Aren't you thankful that God breathed every word of this book? Every word of God is true. Hey, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We have a copy of the Scripture that we get to hold in our hands. Many of us have multiple copies. And I know my office is full of copies of the Bible. Aren't you thankful we have the Word of God and we can go to it every day? Let's spend time in the Word of God. He says it's profitable. The Word of God is profitable. Did you notice that? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means the Word of God is good for you. You know, if you were sick, you'd say, I'd take medicine because that's good for me. Or I'd take for my health, I might take a vitamin because that's good for me. Or I'll eat that which is going to help me with my health because that's good for me. The Word of God is good for you. He says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof. For instruction in righteousness. Those words there in verse number 16 have the idea of that God's word will tell us what is right. Isn't that good? God's word will tell you what's right. We live in the last days. We live in the days of individuals that are confused about what is right and what is wrong. But can I say this in the world standards, right and wrong in the world standards is not what we judge by. We judge by what the Bible says is right and wrong. So the Bible will tell us what's right. The Bible tells what's wrong. Then the Bible tells us how to get what is wrong right. You ever had times in your life where you've said, I've read through the Word of God, and it showed me some things that I shouldn't be doing in my life, but then isn't it comforting to know that God lets you know how you can get it right? How you can make sure that you can get what is wrong right. He uses the word correction for that. Correction. For doctrine, what's right. For reproof, what's wrong. For correction. That's how to get what is wrong right. Here's a great truth to remember about correction. Correction brings protection. We're protected as we find out what is right and what is wrong, and we get what is wrong right. And then he says instruction in righteousness, which means how to keep it right. God wants us to keep things right in our life. Our walk with God should be a daily thing. It needs to be discipline. We need to make sure we are faithful at it. And if we've started it as a result of the revival, let's continue on. Let's not fade away. Let's not fade away in our faithfulness. Let's not fade away in what God would have for us to do. And then look real quickly at verse number 17, and we'll close with this. Verse number 17, he says this, that the man of God may be perfect and then thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Two thoughts here in verse number 17 that are so important for us. Number one, maturity. Maturity. God wants us to mature. So salvation is important. The Scriptures are important. But God wants us to mature. That's part of continuing in the things that God has done in our lives. We're maturing. We're becoming more like Him. Look at what it says, that the man of God may be perfect. Perfect. He uses the word perfect there. You say, wait a minute. Is the word perfect there the same word we would use to describe God? God is perfect. We cannot be perfect, right? But we can mature, can't we? We can grow. That word perfect has the idea of being complete or maturing, to grow, to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if God has matured you as a result of the revival, if you've grown because you've heard the messages, let's continue in that. Let's let God mature us, to grow us, to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's some things He's put His finger on, maybe even in the message today, He's put His finger on some things, and you say, if I'm going to grow to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to get those things dealt with. I'm going to have to ask God to forgive me. I'm going to have to ask God to help me to do things that I know I should do and continue in those things. So maturity. But then would you look at the last word? Look at verse number 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word furnished has the idea of prepared. So the importance of preparation. The importance of preparation. You say, what are you talking about? Well, prepared to do the work and the will of God for your life. Are you prepared to do that? Can I say this? If there's sin in our hearts that is not dealt with, we're not prepared to do the work and the will of God. If we are not faithful, But the Bible says it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. If we're not faithful, then we're not prepared to do the work and the will of God for our lives. If we're not doing the things that God has asked us to do, if we're not staying away from the things that God doesn't want us to have as a part of our lives, we're not prepared to do the work and the will of God. But he says the scriptures get us ready for that, though, don't they? Because they get us in line, showing us what we need improvement, what we need to get right, what we need to get dealt with, so that the man of God can be perfect, maturing, thoroughly furnished, or prepared unto all good works. Now, as we're preparing to do the work and the will of God for our lives, that is what we will find is what is acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Now listen, do you want to please God? You want to please the Father? Paul says to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, so you could be prepared to do whatever it is that God has as a task for your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, as far as the will of God is concerned, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a will for all of us. God wants us to be prepared to do that will. So the encouragement today, as God has stirred my heart at the end of the revival, that I would continue in the things that God has put in my heart, is that we would get to a place where we would continue. We'd be forever faithful to the Lord. We'd be forever faithful to His Word, forever faithful in the decisions that He has put upon our hearts in those services of revival. Can I say this by way of closing today? Anyone can start something. Anyone at all can start something. But as a Christian, it takes courage and it takes perseverance to continue to the finish line. You know, there are a lot of folks today that start things. There are a lot of folks today that they perhaps even started out well. But God wants us to continue. God wants us to be forever faithful. God wants us to get to the finish line. You know, you might say today, well, you know what? It's kind of sad. Because you're preaching a message Sunday morning and the revival's only been over 4 days and I've already failed to do something that I have committed to God during the revival meeting that I would do. Well, here's my answer to that. The Bible says the just man falls down 7 times, but he keeps getting back up. He keeps getting back up. So you say, wait a minute, I committed to God, I was going to read my Bible, and I failed to do that one of the days of this week, even after the revival meeting. Get back up. Get back up. It's the difference between getting back up and staying down. Many can start, but it really takes that perseverance to continue on. And I say this, the ultimate example we have is Jesus Christ. He finished, didn't he? He continued. He got to the finish line. What an example he has left for us. Keep looking to him as you continue in the things he's done in your heart. Father, I thank you for the message today. Lord, I thank you for stirring my heart this past few days about this